Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
I'm good. I am currently looking after a little dog. That's my life at the moment, just looking after a little dog.
Dog sitter.
That refuses to poo outside.
Oh no.
He's just constantly doing little poopies on the floor. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to solve this. You just will refuse. You just won't stop pooping on the floor. And
get an indoor
garden. If he starts doing it, I'll think it's acceptable and I'll start doing it, god damn it.
Can't you get like an indoor garden space, like one of those fake turf? That's yes. Not a good idea, is it? That's a terrible idea.
No.
That's a terrible. What is it with animal? This morning I was woken up at 4:30 in the morning to the sound of the cat, Maro, going meow, and as it wanted to play at 4:30 in the morning. It's a very playful cat.
Mouth.
It's one of the toys where it's a plastic stick with a bit of string and a little tempura toy at the end, and he sort of wave it around like
right.
And he sort of dragged it in. You hear this like ominous dragging noise, like as the toy scrapes across the floor, and he's got the toy in his mouth, so he tries to meow, but because his mouth is closed, it's like and it's just this fucking horrible noise to wake up to.
Fucking noise, man.
Come on, Maro. Just wait 6 hours. Wait 3 hours. Just God's sake. Bloody cat. Honestly. Doesn't help that my stomach's imploded. I discovered this thing recently. Charlotte ordered this new type of fruit called the kiwi berry. Have you heard of the kiwi berry, Pete?
I gave it a Google after you were complaining about your stomach pains earlier on.
So good.
It's like, it's a tiny kiwi fruit without the fur on the outside.
It's basically if a grape was crossbred with a kiwi, you get a kiwi berry.
Nice. And it is, I like it.
The thrills of a kiwi in a convenient grape form factor, and it's amazing. And I got the box of them and devoured like 20. I was like, this is the future of food.
This is the best.
And now I've paid the price. My stomach has imploded. It's like one big fruity laxative, and it's been horrible, and I've just, ouch. So
yeah,
in the same way when you eat loads of berries, it upsets your stomach. It's had that.
What are you, like
kiwi
a squirrel?
Berries.
Why?
Be careful.
Like a little monkey eating berries all day.
I'm trying to be healthy, isn't it? Trying to be healthy before my big
cycle. Very healthy. I bet they're expensive, though. I bet they're really nice, but they're very expensive. It's Japanese fruit, isn't it? They love it.
They were a very special purchase. It was like $15 for 25 kiwi berries. So I don't think it'll be happening again anytime soon. It's pretty awful. It's the one-year anniversary of Will Smith smashing Chris Rock's face in.
I
rewatched that today. Nice. I think, it's because the Oscars, right? And God, I was rewatching that and reminding myself of the magic of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock in the face. One of the most surreal things to witness. Imagine being in that room and that unfolding. God,
it was very strange.
What do you think of Will Smith as a result of that? I read that his popularity nosedived.
Did it really?
He went
right.
from a rating of 80 to under 50. I don't know how what that means, what the numerical value of that is, but he went from 80 to 50, and that's a drop of at least 30. So, did you? I mean, I remember feeling disappointed, because growing up, Will Smith was a legend in the 90s, right? A lot of my childhood watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, watching Men in Black, Independence Day, to a lesser extent, The Wild Wild West. What a film that was. Have you seen The Wild... You remember The Wild Wild West, Pete?
That's I remember The Wild Wild West with the big mechanical spider.
Yeah. Spider and Kenneth Branagh as angry
Kenneth
wheelchair
Branagh,
man.
Yeah. That's true, yeah, I remember.
When I met him with Natsuki, I really wanted to be like, oh, I loved you in The Wild Wild West. That was your best, most underrated role, Kenneth Branagh. It wasn't Shakespeare or
I think he'd
Harry
probably
Potter.
Accept that, to be honest. Yeah, I think he'd be all right
I reckon
with that.
He would have slapped me as Will Smith slapped Chris Rock in disgust. But yeah, no, it's sad. How do you feel about Will Smith? Have you forgiven him yet?
I don't know. Have I just seen clips? I can't really remember. I think I saw a bit of Chris Rock's special that he was yapping on about Will Smith.
I saw that.
Comedians are so... Like, you do get 5 years as a comedian, and then you got to stop, ain't ya? Because you get too successful, and you don't have any time to write any material because you're too busy. And you're rich, so your experiences aren't really translatable. And you really do have to just give up, because you are not good anymore. Just become a comedy actor and just do that, because you are no good. You can't write a joke to save your fucking life anymore. It's baffling to go from
that
height.
I watched that segment of Chris Rock having a go at Will Smith. It wasn't really comedy at that point. It was more just an angry rant. I think he had a year of things he wanted to get off his chest, and that was... open fire sort of situation. Yep. Just get it all off his chest, right?
I bet he got
wasn't
a
much
lot
comedy
of coin
there.
For that. It was like a weird... It was a Netflix live performance, wasn't it? Was that a thing? I think it was like... Weren't they broadcasting that live?
I don't know if it was... I think it might have been live, yeah. Yeah.
One of the first kind of... And I think Japan's got some kind of live Netflix compliment, so that might be a thing that happens. Maybe they'll get the Match of the Day TV show. Watch that.
Maybe they will. Maybe they'll get Gary Lineker. Dear, oh dear. But we have a story this week from Emma, who is also my sister. And she's in Japan at the moment. And she's got a story here. It's going to be interesting. Hello, Big Brother Chris and Podcast Pete. She's using all the adjectives today. I'm travelling Japan in a K-car camper van with my other half, Dom. And so far, it's been great. We've been staying mainly at Michinoeki for free, which is kind of like roadside stops, right? However, we had our first Japanese campsite experience last week, and it was memorable, to say the least. We were driving out of Kawaguchi Lake in the base of Mount Fuji along a remote road towards Chris's favourite place, Nagoya, when we drove past a huge sign saying Cow Resort. Oh, God.
Oh.
With a giant and accompanying giant plastic cow. The road was half blocked by a queue of caravans waiting to turn into the place. Such was the popularity of the Cow Resort. Intrigued, we decided to check it out. It turned out the Cow Resort was a dairy farm campsite right at the base of Mount Fuji, where you could eat cheese, watch the fluffy cows roam, and sit... And it was exactly the thing we never knew we needed. They gave us unnecessarily large amounts of complimentary milk on check-in, an invitation to the 5 a.m. milking of the cows. And they played classical music all day and all night in the huge cow barn. This is insane. How have I never heard this place? The cows were clearly having a great time in their huge field. But the signs along the fencing, the fences saying barbecue available felt ever so slightly ominous. The cheese, that's pretty hard. The cheese was incredible. But we both felt a bit odd drinking straight up milk from a bottle like a pair of babies while sitting next to the cows that it came from. Hoping we come across some more weird, wonderful places on our travels. Your favourite sister, Emma. Woohoo. Cow farm.
Your favourite sister. Well, my favourite sister.
Favourite and only.
I'm afraid, my sister. I think with I think it's absolutely charming that your sister is just roaming around the wilds of Japan, getting free cheese from farmers, and you're just not keeping us safe. You're just not keeping us safe, Chris.
I mean, it's been quite interesting. I met up with them in Kyoto. They came to my bar briefly, and we talked. And they've done some pretty cool stuff since being here. Like they've rented this tiny camper van. It's not even a camper van. It's like a K car, a slightly big K car, basically. And they've been travelling around in that and just sleeping at service stations and car parks, which apparently you can do. I didn't know. I don't know the rules around camper vans. Not really my thing.
We do kind of get asked this question quite a lot, don't we, I suppose? It's kind of like about camper vans and camping and stuff. So I'm glad we've got someone abroad, if you will, on the ground
in Japan.
Or in the cheese.
Aboard in a camper van with a cow. That's the channel. The channel's called Always Away. They've made a YouTube channel. And good on them. I'm glad they're having a fun time. They graduated university recently, and they decided to make the most of their sort of next year by just travelling around in a camper van and milking the cows of Japan, apparently. But I love that. I love, you know, when people come to Japan for an extended period of time, they get to do the things that normal tourists don't, right? Most normal tourists would just go, I went to Tokyo, I went to Shibuya, blah, blah, blah. Like, they've milked a cow. And they've eaten some cheese, and that's quality. But like yourself, right? When you come to Japan, you often do really bizarre and unusual things, don't you? You've done often at my behest, like taking you to a shit hotel and sailing and catching fish at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
But like, I like hearing stories of people that return to Japan and do bizarre and wacky things, right? Like, what's the weirdest thing you've done on one of your trips to Japan?
I think going out with the seaweed farmers of Ishinomaki at 5 o'clock in the morning, and obviously Ryotaro as well. I mean, he's the strangest of the lot. But I think, yeah, and then going to that deserted wedding venue that survived an absolute torrent of water being poured upon it and through it. So
and watching you break into the attic, if I recall.
I just love a mooch around, Chris. You know me. I love a mooch around.
Bad boy Pete breaking into the attics of abandoned buildings. That was a really cool trip. I remember feeling the most ill I've ever been that morning, having slept for 1 hour. And just feeling just appalling, abhorrently just ill.
Very tired. But then I think being out on an ocean wave and watching you trying to fix a drone blade on a really wobbly ship, you know, dry retching into your mouth, I think, and you know, that really perked me up, to be quite frank.
That is a day in the life of Braun Japan. Sometimes I regret that I don't film more of my
why did I do this,
to be honest. There's so many moments like that just I don't get to commit to film. Like,
yeah, I don't think did you even film much on the boat? Maybe you did. Yeah, you did get
We did film a little bit. Guess, yeah, it's in the documentary Japan's $200 billion disaster. There's some nice scenes on the boats. It was a beautiful morning though, I'll never forget. It's weird. I remember the sunrise over the Pacific that morning really clearly. Like, that was a really nice moment. I remember thinking,
it was,
wow, I wish I was a fisherman to some extent for a day.
Yeah.
But not longer than that. It was lovely. What's going on in the news this week, though? What's going down in Japan, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in.
Oh, it's another big week. Last week we had illegal genetically modified killifish. This week... Oh, God. There's some guy who runs a ryokan inn, and he refuses to change the bathwater in his bath. The Fukuoka Prefectural Government in southwest Japan filed a criminal complaint against the operator of a century-old ryokan inn and its former president on March the 8th after it came to light that the ryokan, get this, only changed its hot spring bathwater twice a year. And lied about it. You're supposed to change the water once a week because, fuck me, it's a bath. And this guy, the operator of the Daimaru Besso Inn in Chikushino, Fukuoka, basically they violated a public bathhouse law. They had to change the water every single week. They've changed it twice in 1 year.
Whoa.
And it was basically because a customer got diagnosed with Legionellosis, a disease caused by the Legionella bacteria. Apparently this place was never properly chlorinated and the bath water was only changed twice a year. Now that is an astonishing turn of events, really, that only one person got Legionnaire's disease from the fucking pool, because this guy's disgusting.
That's horrific. Like, I have a friend, a good friend of mine, Japanese guy, who just won't go in onsen because he says they're very unclean. And, you know, it's hard to know. The thing is, a natural hot spring, the constant flow of water means the water's replaced daily, right? Let alone weekly, usually. But I think he must have had a bad experience or heard a horror story like this. Because you hear this and you think, Jesus Christ, I don't know if I want to go splashy, splashy bath time and get Legionnaire's disease in some water that hasn't been replaced in a fucking year. What was he thinking? Why not put some chlorine in? Like, if you're not going to change the water, put some chlorine in, kill the bacteria.
Exactly. It's kind of like you're just mugging yourself off there. I know it takes a bit of time. Like, how much money are you realistically saving having a stinky fucking bath? A whole year or 6 months. Gross.
I love the line.
Absolutely gross.
The prefectural government told reporters that the Orkhan's false reporting was a serious problem.
It's a serious problem.
No shit.
Yeah.
Legionnaire's disease plasters. In a bathtub. What was the rationale? At what point did the guy think, effort though, isn't it? Putting the chlorine
effort
in,
though, isn't it?
Changing the water, we'll do it next year.
Next year.
It's not good. But like, take my word when I say, I think for the most part, most Lyorkans, most traditional inns do have clean bath water.
Good.
That you don't have
to
worry
about. Them.
Yes. That's horrific though, isn't it? Really horrific.
Well done.
The latest video that came out of Abroad in Japan is a wacky weekend with Connor. We went to Beppu Hot Springs, right? The largest hot spring town in Japan. And also, I think the second biggest hot spring in the world by flow of water every day after Yellowstone Park. Or no, I think there's another geological park in New Zealand that has more. But like, what were the numbers? Oh, I can't remember the numbers. There were some insane statistics that I reeled off for the voiceover, which I recorded like yesterday. Here it is. Bear with me. I'm gonna blow your mind, right? Beppu has an insane 2,900 hot spring vents, 10% of the total in all of Japan, pumping out an estimated 130 million litres of hot water every single day. That can't be right.
Yeah, that seems like a lot, though, doesn't it?
100, that can't be right. 130
How
million...
Many?
No. No, that can't be right, can it?
100 million litres a day? What, the whole
that's
site?
That's bollocks. The whole of the town.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it? Yeah.
130 million litres every day?
There's a lot of water. Is it water's a lot? Water is a lot. Put that... Take that,
water,
Greta Thunberg.
Water
here's
is
your
a lot.
Here's your next slogan. Water is a lot.
No, is this real water? Let's look. Beppu. Okay, yeah. Apparently, it's true.
Yeah.
36 million gallons per day of hot water make it the second highest output anywhere in the world.
That's insane.
Sausages. That is insane.
But that's powered by a volcano, is it? That's not powered by man.
What? The heat's powered by too
man.
Much volcano. Fucking... It is actually near Kumamoto, funnily enough. But what an amazing place. The water's like 60, 80 degrees Celsius. It bubbles up from 200 metres below the surface. And there's no Legionnaire's disease there. So they clean the water.
Clean.
But the thing is, you don't have to clean the water in Japan when it comes from beneath the Earth's surface because it sort of washes straight in the bath and comes out the other side, right?
Yeah.
For the longest time... I always wondered how... When I went to Ryokan, a traditional one, I always thought, bloody hell, the water bill here must be off the charts. And then I realised you dig a hole and then it just flows up for free. So you don't have to worry about the water bill. So when you come over, Pete, let's get a shovel, let's get digging, and let's start our own hot spring. And we'll clean. We don't need to clean the water. We don't need chlorine. One other thing that was really cool at Beppu, there were 8 different... types of waters at the hot springs with all different minerals in, different colours. But you should check out the episode because at the start of it we went to a ghost village, which I think was right up your street. It was a very Pete Dolson-esque little place, this abandoned village. Go and watch it.
I will. All right, fine.
Go
are
and watch
talking
it.
To me?
No.
No.
Yeah.
All right, hang
it's
on.
A good video. It's a good one. It's a good one. No, don't watch it now. Oh, God.
The tapping.
Oh, God. We'll be back in just a moment, guys. We'll have stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? What's going down?
You always, when you haven't read the emails, you do look at them and go, what have we got? What have they said this time? Hello, Crash Chris and Deliriously Drunk Donaldson. I'll be heading to Japan for the first time in March. And in my research of the onsen town of Yufu, I discovered that they have a contest where you eat bungo beef.
What?
I have no idea what bungo beef is. And then shout whatever you want at the foot of Mount Yufu. You'll then be scored on the loudness and unique content of your voice. Have you heard of this?
No.
So you just basically get to the Yufu. You got Yufu. And you shout whatever you want at the foot of Mount Yufu. And you get scored as to how awesome your shouting is. You two should partake.
What?
Chris, can you shout and let it all out about all the things you can do without? And Pete can scream about, I don't know, monkeys or something. Thanks to the entertainment. Matt from Minnesota, wonderfully alliterative, and a cracker little email about bungo beef and the foot of Mount Yufu.
I mean, this isn't a thing. This is just you've met someone very odd. He's like, shout with me, whatever
Where's
you want.
It's not Ufu, it's Beppu.
It's just outside of Beppu, actually. Ties in right. nicely with our last little, my little comments a minute ago. I did want to go there. I wanted to climb it. There's a really beautiful mountain, but Connor was like, oh, I don't want to climb mountains. Who climbs mountains? It's boring. So we didn't do that. And we could have shouted. We could have had all the bungo beef. I've never heard of this bungo beef either.
I'm looking at a Google search about it. You threw in Namayagi's farm's delicious beef with a high energy screaming contest in the natural surroundings of Mount Ufu, a gorgeous stratovolcano. It's held on the public holiday of Health and Sports Day, October the 8th of last year. 600 participants enjoy the local beef tail soup and all you can eat barbecue vegetables in the outdoors before 100 contestants take turns standing on stage and screaming as loud as possible into the volcano. The winners will be chosen according to both the volume of scream and what they say. The more entertaining, the better. And you can people in the past have screamed marriage proposals and all kinds of stuff, really. Probably some racial invective as well in there. The first prize is 30,000 yen plus wooden handmade tableware. Second is 20k and third is 10. And so you get travel tickets and eat beef and shout. That's what you do Namayagi Machi in Ufu in Ufu City in Oita. So there we go. Lovely. What a good idea.
The bungo beef looks amazing. I was looking at some photos of it a minute ago and I'm rather hungry. I was looking at a beef bowl lathered up with bungo beef. How have I never heard of bungo beef? I thought I'd eaten every single cut of Wagyu in Japan now, from bloody Maizawa Gyu and Yamagata to Yonezawa, Maizawa, Kobe, and Miyazaki. But yet I have not had bungo beef, but in about 10 days' time, I will be cycling through that very area, and I will pull over for lunch.
Get the beef.
Bungo beef.
Where's the beef?
The bungo beef I deserve. And now I'm going to ban the phrase bungo beef. We've got a story.
Wasn't that with the party that the head of... who's the Italian premier? The bungo parties. The bunga parties.
I have no idea.
He owned the football teams. I can't remember his bloody name.
Not Berlusconi.
Berlusconi. Silvio Berlusconi. He has a bungo party.
Of course he does.
Shouts what he wants.
Oh dear. We got one here from Ron from Sydney, who says, "G'day Chris and Pete. Oh, if you have 7 days left in Japan and could never come back, what would you do?" Ron from Sydney. Oh, that's awful.
Lovely.
If you had 7 days left in Japan and could never come back, what would I do? I would eat all the bungo beef. I'd run around Kumamoto and have a look in the volcano. I looked up Mount Aso the other day because I thought about going there on the cycle, and you can't actually go near the summit at the moment because of high gaseous warnings and a potential eruption. Like, when we went there on our trip for the Journey Across Japan Series 3, we got very lucky that we were able to go right up to the crater and peer into the gritty interior of Japan's largest volcano. We were pretty lucky, because for most of the year, or a good chunk of it, you can't go near it. And if you want to see why, go and look up the eruption that happened a few months after we left and a few months after we shot the music video Too Much Volcano, where in a terrifying matter of seconds the entire summit of the volcano erupts and is engulfed in the thickest looking plumes of smoke you'll ever see. Really unnerving. There was a documentary. Did you see a documentary about the one in New Zealand that the tourists went to and then it erupted and they all got
quite
a few people lost their lives tragically.
Eesh.
Yeah. Like the heat from the smoke and the ash must just be insane. But 7 days left in Japan. What would you do? What would you do, Pete? Where would you go? How would you live your life?
I don't even know anymore. Everything will have changed by the time I get out there, God damn it. I don't even know anymore. I'd probably just have a bit of a breakdown at Narita Airport.
7 day breakdown.
Bungo beef. What? Bring me the bungo beef, I'd be shouting as I'm dragged off British Airways flight, whatever. Bring me the head of the Bungo Beef Corporation.
I would try 21 different dishes one last time. You could have 3 different Japanese dishes per day, right?
Right.
Morning, lunch, dinner. Yeah. Do all the ramen, do all the sushi, have the bungo beef, job done.
Bungo beef.
Eat it all. That's what you want to do,
Rob. I'm sneaking little slivers of bungo beef on everyone and just getting the bungo beef on. Can't get enough.
Hello, Captain Chris and Private P. Chris, you've accumulated a big camera collection over the years. Which camera would you recommend for a vlogger that's just starting out? Love the podcast. Joe from Oregon. The camera... You know, I'd recommend the Sony ZV-1. That's what Shah uses. Simple, easy, no removable frame. You can zoom in, you can zoom out. It's got skin smoothening. It's got a nice little microphone. That's good stuff. I think that's a good one to go with. Master the art of talking to a camera first before you splash out the big bucks and get like a Panasonic S5 II, which is the camera I would recommend for when you level up a little bit. So Sony ZV-1 or just your iPhone or Android phone. Just get used to talking in front of a camera and go from there. It would be a shame to spend $2,000 on a nice camera, then realise you hate talking to people and don't enjoy the art of YouTube. The art of YouTube. What am I on about?
The art of YouTube. It is a skill, though, isn't it? It is a skill, sort of talking down a camera lens and kind of trying to remember what you're actually saying. I mean, it's astonishing that anyone does it right. Something almost... Because I've seen, like, YouTubers who... are celebrated for being very, very ordered with their thoughts and very good at sort of doing it down the lens. But then when you work with them, it's like, yeah, you can't react to anything. You can't roll with the punches at all. Whereas I think I'm probably okay at that, but I cannot look into a lens and sort of say anything at all. I go to pieces. I second guess every last word. It's terrible. Terrible.
No,
terrible.
You're better than you think. You're better than
such
you think.
Such a unique skill.
I mean, it took me years to get used to it. When I look at my older videos, it's just a car crash. It's just embarrassing. I can see all the things I was doing wrong. Like, the trick is just to talk normally as though you're talking to a friend. In my case, I like scripting what I'm going to say a bit more. But, yeah. I know, it's a skill. And it takes many years to get your head around. But trick is just be yourself. And I feel... envious of streamers because they're people at the top of their game usually. They're people that are just the most natural presenters go on to become streamers. And I'm not one of them. You'd be a great streamer, though. You'd be a cracking streamer.
I just don't. You got to keep it going. I said it in the last podcast. You got to keep it going. You've got to be up for the cup. You've got to have a bit of pep in your step, Chris. And I just don't have it. I just don't have it.
All the
it's
pep.
A skill.
You have all the pep in your step.
Have a
coffee. Job done. Yeah. And you can power through for 20 minutes. An hour.
But the problem is, you've got the best streaming you got to do in the evening, haven't you? Really, I suppose. Certainly in the UK, you got to be streaming in the evening. Now, there's very few people who've managed to successfully negated or navigated the whole streaming in the mornings kind of vibe.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at doing a stream with Pete Premier 2 soon for the new Resident Evil game, Resident Evil 4 Remake, which I'm very excited about. I loved Resident Evil 4 was one of my favourite games on GameCube, if not my
favourite. You're quite
a big
fan of evil in general, aren't you? Residential.
Oh, sorry, Resident Evil.
No, just evil. Big fan of evil.
Well, I am friends with Ryotaro. But no, Resident Evil's cracking, and the fourth one... it put me off Spain for a while because it's set in a Spanish village and everyone just wants to stab you with a pitchfork. I don't feel it was a very fair or accurate representation of Spain. But the characters spoke Spanish, so it must be Spain. But I really... the graphics look incredible. The story looks brilliant, again, if it's the same story. And, it just looks like a lot of fun. There's something very satisfying. Capcom nail the atmosphere, the aesthetic, the gunplay, the physics... of the whole world of Resident Evil, and I'm looking forward to getting immersed in that once more and reliving the magic of Resident Evil 4, but with much better graphics and physics and lighting. Oh yes. Early April, so keep an eye out. It's going to be fun. Keep the stories, questions, comments, guys, coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again, but for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Ta-ta.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.